In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, why did our Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnation of the second person of the Most Holy Trinity, the Savior of mankind, the beloved Son of God the Father Almighty, why did Jesus submit to the temptations of the devil? Our holy patron, St. Thomas Aquinas, who we will celebrate in a few weeks on the first Saturday of March, tells us that there are four reasons why it was appropriate for our Lord to allow himself to be tempted by Satan. Let's briefly examine these four reasons to help us understand how important for us was Christ's temptation in the desert. Firstly, St. Thomas says, by quoting St. Gregory the Great, that it was becoming for our Lord to be tempted that he might strengthen us against temptations. Hence, St. Gregory says in a homily, "It was not unworthy of our Redeemer to wish to be tempted, who came also to be slain, in order that by his temptations he might conquer our temptations, just as by his death he overcame our death." Everything our Lord did here on this earth was to restore and did restore to sanctity and goodness that which was broken and corrupted by the devil and by the sin of man. Thus, in the preface of the Holy Cross, which we read and pray during Passiontide, we pray, "Who did set the salvation of mankind upon the tree of the cross, so that whence came death, thence also life might rise again, and that he overcame by the tree also might be overcome," that is to say, the devil. It is not only fitting, but right, that the disobedience of Adam should be corrected and reconciled by the obedience of our Lord. As St. Paul says, "He humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross." And as Adam succumbed to the temptation to bring about original sin, it is only fitting that our Savior should triumph over temptation to bring about our redemption from that first fall from grace. Just as the whole history of salvation begins with the fall of Adam, our Lord's public life, the history of redemption, begins with our Lord's overcoming the temptation of the devil. Secondly, St. Thomas tells us that our Lord suffered to be tempted that we might be warned, so that none, however holy he may think himself, safe or free from temptation. Wherefore, also he wished to be tempted after his baptism, because as St. Hilary says, "The temptations of the devil assail those principally who are sanctified, for he desires above all," that is the devil, "to overcome the holy. Hence also it is written, 'Son, when thou comest to the service of God, stand in justice and in fear, and prepare thy soul for temptation.'" We should never think that we have reached such heights of sanctity that we will not be tempted anymore, or that we will never again fall into a vice that we think we have conquered. The first step to fall into sin is to convince ourselves that we cannot fall into sin. If we let our guard down but for an instant, then the devil, who never sleeps and has been waiting for us to go complacent with hellish impatience, he will pounce. By his humble example, however, our Lord shows us that everyone will be tempted in this life. It is simply a part of the human condition and a necessary part of our own sanctification. The servant is not greater than the master. If our Lord submitted to temptations, then let us never be surprised, unprepared, perturbed when we are tempted in this our earthly journey to heaven. It is not he who is not tempted who is on the sure path to salvation, but he who resists temptation. As we read in the book of Ecclesiasticus, "Who is he, and we will praise him? For he hath done wonderful things in his life. Who hath been tried and made perfect, he shall have glory everlasting. He that could have transgressed and hath not transgressed, could do evil things and hath not done them. Therefore are his goods established in the Lord, and all the church of the saints shall declare his alms." The third reason that St. Thomas tells us that our Lord suffered to be tempted was in order to give us an example, to teach us, to wit, how to overcome the temptations of the devil. Hence, St. Augustine says that Christ allowed himself to be tempted by the devil that he might be our mediator in overcoming temptations, not only by helping us, but also by giving us an example. Our Lord, by fasting and praying in the desert, repulsed the devil. When he was confronted with concupiscence by being tempted to turn the stones to bread, he turned away from the body and towards the spirit. When he was tempted by pride and power, he humbled himself before God the Father. And all the while, he wielded the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He is our model in all things, and here no less, even though he, unlike us, could not and would not ever give into the temptation. And fourthly, St. Thomas tells us our Lord suffered to be tempted in order to fill us with confidence in his mercy. Hence, it is written in the book of Hebrews, we have not a high priest who cannot have compassion on our infirmities, but one tempted in all things like as we are, yet without sin. Our Lord Jesus Christ knows exactly what it is like to live in this fallen world, beset by temptations, attacked by the devil, pushed and pulled in every direction by forces that seek to devour us. But his triumph is our own, since he bestows upon us the grace and the merits which he won for us by his life, his death, his resurrection. Let us then be filled with love, thankfulness, and trusting confidence in the knowledge that our Savior has not spared himself the least suffering in order to show us how to follow the will of God unto our salvation. Let us end with the hopeful and encouraging words of St. Paul, who tells us, and God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will make also with temptation issue, that you may be able to bear it. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.